Oh, yeah. A little extra excited after a couple weeks off, and extra excited about our brand new sponsor from the makers of Helix. They're back. They have the most comfortable mattress ever, and now they have Allform, the most comfortable sofa ever. I already got my Allform sofa. It was delivered directly to my home. You can assemble the furniture in minutes. No tools needed. It's awesome. It's comfortable. We'll talk about it later. Right now, Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. That's 20% off all orders at allform.com/JRVP. Also excited that this episode brought to you by Keeps. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35. Stop it before it's too late. If you're ready to prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/JRVP to get your first month for free. keeps.com/JRVP. Big episode. We've got an old sex robot, we've got a nasty python, and a juvenile coming up on episode 113 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Not trying to be funny, not trying to get a laugh. I don't want anybody to have the worst day at their job, but do any of these fuckers ever blast out of the wall and have, like, a huge cum shot?
That's my favorite one, I think.
No, oh, really?
Think it is.
Come on, cough and flop.
Okay,
yeah,
that's great too.
Cough and flop, giggle in my bed. That's you're referring to. I think you should leave Tim Robinson's. Great,
yes, that's word
sketch
word.
Comedy.
That's one of my favorites. Cough and flop. The one where he's in all the prosthetics in the mall food court,
yes.
makes me laugh every time I even think about it. I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm not going to save it for recommendation station. I think you should leave season 2. I've heard people say they thought it was not as good as season 1. I think it's even better.
I think it's better.
And I've watched it 3, maybe 4 times, just all in a row. Made my mom watch it. My mom was dying laughing after a few glasses of wine. But still loved the first couple episodes. Me and my brother watch it. We were loving it. And then I've watched it a couple times since I've gotten back to LA. But just amazing, amazing stuff from Tim Robinson.
I just watched season 1 days before, you know, I watched season 2. And I'm with you. I think season 2 is a little bit better. There's there's not as many lows. Like, almost every skit makes me laugh.
Yes. Even some of my friends have complained about that. I'm like, no, that's amazing. That's an amazing sketch. I love every single one of them.
Sloppy steaks.
Sloppy steaks, amazing. The DMV or the getting your driver's license video is amazing. Watch I Think You Should Leave in its entirety. And if you haven't seen season 1, I don't know. Do you listen to this podcast? I've talked about it constantly. It is the best, and I honestly can't wait to watch it again. There's nothing else I'd rather watch than I Think You Should Leave. Although the Emmy nominations came out today, and I was happy about The Boys getting a nomination for Best Drama. The Boys is one of my favorite shows on TV. It's on Amazon, a superhero show. But I'm furious. Furious that The Challenge got looked over. I thought this was the year for The Challenge.
I thought you were going to say you're furious. I Think You Should Leave got looked over, overlooked.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Season one. Was too.
Because it's hilarious. The Best Variety Sketch or whatever only has 2 nominations. It's SNL, Saturday Night Live, and Black Lady Sketch Show. Which I've never heard anyone say anything good about in comedy. Not that I'm saying it's bad. I've just never heard anything good.
Erica did recommend it, I remember, on this show. So
again,
but that doesn't count.
That doesn't change anything that I just said.
If we're like giving shout outs to shows, you know, old shows or whatnot, I'm not going to say this a recommendation station.
Oh,
but
Big Lebowski or something?
No, it's in a similar vein. I just rewatched season 1 of The Wire, which of course is incredible. And I haven't watched it in 12 years. No, but my point is, right after I saw it, I saw Lieutenant Daniels, mm-hmm. show up in this corny, not funny insurance ad. And I was thinking, God damn it, Lieutenant Daniels was maybe the MVP of season one. He's so goddamn good. People should be giving Lieutenant Daniels some jobs. He is like an incredible actor. That was one of my biggest takeaways from season one is Daniels is the man.
Yeah, Daniels is the man, but Daniels was the man on Oz, too. I mean, yeah. Daniels has been getting it done for decades, and you're just now hopping on the Wire bandwagon. People
but now, now he's doing like it's not even progressive. It was like it was not even a good insurance
he's
thing. And he's doing jokes. Come
paid.
On,
he's
okay.
getting paid. All right, don't talk about The Wire season one.
To me, it was really good
in 2021.
It was good.
It's amazing.
It was totally worth it though. It's been like 12 years. It's totally
it's
worth.
No,
you know, you're
it's
older.
No Coffin Flop. If you could, if you could trade out The Wire all five seasons for like an entire episode of Coffin Flop. I would watch Coffin Flop all day long.
I watched Coffin Flop in bed next to Emeka, and you know I was a little stoned at the time, and she's just like looking over at me like I'm a fucking jackass, like because I can't stop giggling at this thing at like 11 at night. I mean, you can't stop laughing.
The screams, the naked bodies. I mean, every time they fell out of the coffin, it was hilarious. The fact that he says that they record every funeral and only show the ones where we. Where someone drops out of the coffin is incredible. Like I will fight you if you don't like it. That's how strongly I feel about it. We got a couple weeks to catch up on. Last week was the mailbag. Hope everyone enjoyed that. I went to Chicago trip to see my family. Turns out 4 days is the perfect amount of time to go and see your family. Had a great time with my brother. Got to see his new place. Got to see his all form chair that I got him. Got to sit in it. Very comfortable. Very nice. Got to see his new place, hang out with his fiance, see the rest of my family, and then go to a four-year-old girl's birthday party where they spent more money than I've ever spent on any of my birthdays ever, including alcohol. But it was
like
good.
Doing
it
what?
Was a good time. There was like a French theme, so they just had like tons. There were just so many presents. There were so many presents. I joked that it looked like she was like dying of cancer, and this was like a last hurrah. Like, it was, and they're all like, it's all like art projects and stuff. It's nothing like insane. I think the best, like the most expensive present was what I got her. I got her an iPad because she likes some of the learning games on it. But it just had so many presents wrapped up, and then like a French theme. So like my niece who's turning four had like outfit changes. Like different French-themed bathing suits with like an Eiffel Tower on them. They had like a giant Eiffel Tower in the living room that was like made out of like paper, but still like looked. It was a lot of work for a four-year-old's birthday party with two other kids there. But we all enjoyed ourselves. It wasn't too hot, wasn't too bad. But great to see the family again for the first time in a year and a half. Got to catch up a little bit.
Wait, so where did you stay? You stayed at your brother's. Where were your parents?
My parents, everyone stayed at my sister's house with her husband and kids, including me, except for one night I stayed at my brother's place. I went to dinner with my dad and my brother-in-law and my brother and his fiance and then stayed at their place that night. But I was only there for, you know, 3 nights. But it was great. Weird to fly again. I got clear finally. I was like all excited to have clear. Like you're supposed to just like they scan your retina and you just walk in. And they made me take off my shoes, take the computer out of the bag, and my jacket. And I was like, what's the point of clear? I don't know if it's a COVID thing going on or if clear is just not worth it. But I will find out in November for the Valdez Folly wedding when I get that.
I was with you when you were signing up for clear outside of the Staples Center, the last sporting event both of us went to before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm. It's when I took my fingerprints. And I did the retina scan there, but the fingerprints worked. I liked it. But TSA Pre, still pretty dope. Still pretty dope. Other than that, I was on the Tom Segura podcast. Tom Segura or two
Bears, One Cave.
Two Bears, One Cave is the terrible name they have for that. Bert Kreischer is filming a movie, so I filled in. And it's fun. It's fun to talk to like a friend. And people always make fun. And people always get mad at me when I go on podcasts for not laughing enough. Because they're like, oh, he didn't laugh. Because they're fans of the person whose podcast I'm watching. And on this one, they were like, oh, he likes Tom Segura and thinks Tom Segura is funny. He actually doesn't like the people that he's been on the other podcasts with or doesn't think they're as funny. That I was like, yeah, that's kind of it. Also, it was fun to do. People got
mad
at
me. That makes me feel better, though. You never laugh. You know, you don't laugh at my jokes on this show. So at least I'm in company with like some professionals.
I wouldn't call Bobby Lee a professional, but I think people get what you mean. But I always like, people pick one thing to get mad at me about on every podcast. And this time, Tom Segura asks me at the end, he's like, are you into conspiracy theories? And I should have known, like, the way that he asked it, like, I'm supposed to say yes. And, like, they always discuss conspiracy theories. But I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I believe scientists. When people are like, oh, do your own research, they just mean, like, go watch a YouTube video, like, which is ridiculous. I mean, there are people who do research for a living. They dedicate their lives to research. I believe in that. I believe in the New York Times. I believe in Dr. Fauci. And that set off a tweet storm against me, which I'm happy to weather. No apologies for that one. But I always enjoy it. And they sent me a bunch of merch. They sent me a bunch of Tom Segura merch, which I like. I bought some and told him that. He broke it. Do you know Tom Segura fell and broke his arm trying to slam dunk a basketball and had it on video? And he said it's like, it's awful, but there's like he has like a T-shirt. It looks like a Jordan T-shirt, only the silhouette is of him breaking his arm. And I thought, I've got to have this. And people are like, oh, it's amazing you would support your friends. But I was like, no, I just want a T-shirt with my friends breaking his arm on it. That's what I want.
We need some JRVP merch. We should do.
We still get so many emails about it.
I know. Too. We will. Once I sell the rest of the merch I have.
no one wants that merch, though.
They're going to get
it a while ago.
But it hasn't gone on sale yet. That's another thing I need to email my manager about, is putting that merch on sale. There's not much left. We only printed up so much stuff. It's like, once we get rid of it, I can go to a different company and get some real stuff. But I will have JRVP merch. I saw a recommendation for merch that I actually really liked that I won't give away here. But people will be happy when they see it. Other than that, we've got some Rummy behavior. Rummy snapped at slash bit his bather when he was getting a bath, which he's never done before. He's been getting better and better. And I think what happened was, and I hear the secondhand because I was out of town while this happened, that Rummy does it the way he would like bite me if I'm bothering him, where he kind of makes a sound like you're going to get killed, but then he just puts his mouth on your hand. It doesn't really bite down. But it's like enough to be like, okay, leave me alone. I don't know what would happen if you kept going after that, but I think that's what happened to this woman. Because she was like, I still love Rummy. He was just having a bad day. I think maybe because I was out of town, he was a little worried. I mean, the longest I've been away from Rummy in a year was 4 days. And he was very happy to
see me
come
back. How was he when you got back? Yeah.
Very, very excited. Very excited for 5 minutes. And then it was like, where are my treats?
Cold shoulder.
Not cold shoulder, but just like everything's back to normal. Everything's right with the world. There was no like extra cuddling, nothing like, and things have changed now. There was more behavior change after I yelled at him once than me leaving for a couple days. But he was good. He was well behaved.
Well, that story was almost not right ripped out of the news, but Emeka had sent me this story. I was thinking of putting in our list of the headlines for next week about this dog who went to the groomer to get bathed just a couple days ago in LA and they killed the dog. They drowned the dog by mistake.
I don't think it was I think it happened a while ago, but the lawsuit is going on now. It was that Healthy Spot where they strangled the dog because you put like a cord around its neck so it can't move while you're bathing it. And then they started talking about all the different things that happen at some of these bathing places. That's why I go to Jess Rona Grooming in LA because I know that nothing bad's going to happen. But they said like they'll strangle dogs sometimes. And then one dog, they crushed its tail by brushing it too hard, which seems insane to me. And then they said sometimes they bake dogs. They put them in dryers, like a little room to dry, and they forget about them. And they die that way, which sounds like pure.
All I was thinking reading this article is like, this is not a good advertisement for Healthy Spot. Because it's this chain and this whole article just about how they strangled the dog by mistake.
But Healthy Spot is like, I've been there. I've bought things from Healthy Spot. It's a chain mostly in LA. But I would never take my dog to get a bath there. I take it to Jess Rona Grooming where they don't mind getting bit. They're not going to kill your dog because he bites you. Last thing I'll talk about is I got to do Largo on Friday. First Largo show back was incredible. Had some great guests. Had Chelsea Peretti, Nick Kroll, Zach Galifianakis, surprise guest appearance was fantastic. And it was funny because everyone's so excited that it's the first show back. And I was excited before. And then after I did my set, I was just excited about my set. Like I got so used to being back at Largo that people afterwards, everyone's backstage. A lot of people came because it's the first show back. And I was like, any notes? What do you think? How was my set? And everyone's like, we don't care. We're just happy this is all back and moving again now. But I immediately snapped back to 2019 Jesselnik, which is a good sign, I think. But the act is coming together. I think I'm almost halfway there, almost halfway to getting back on the road. And then I can drop this podcast like a fucking hot potato full of worms that are also hot, even hotter than the potatoes, so the worms burn you. I can drop it like that. How were your 2 weeks?
I mean, how would that be just different than a normal hot potato? Ultimately, like either you're just dropping it.
Yeah, it's not like why heat up the worms?
You can't. It's more gross. Extra drop it.
If someone throws you a hot potato and it's hot and you drop it, you're not scared of potatoes after that. You know what I mean? You're not like, I'll never eat a potato again. If it's got hot worms coming out of it, you know, you're going to think differently about eating a worm ever again, or a potato. You wouldn't even eat a French fry after that. But a hot potato, it's in its nature to get hot. The worms are what freak you out. I'll quit this podcast, let you get back to your tennis podcast, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Well, Courts of Thunder wrapped up for Wimbledon. We're only doing big events. We'll do the Olympics. But I did hear from some JRVP listeners who came along for the ride, and they enjoyed it. So I appreciate it. We'll be back for the U.S. Open. Other than that, you know, I got back to L.A.
What? So wait, you just do like 3 episodes for every Grand Slam?
We did 6, you know, over 2 weeks. For every Grand Slam, because that's sort of like that's like the Super Bowls of tennis, and they last 2 weeks. It's like this big event. So we're just cranking them, during the big events. Not, otherwise, we're out at Courts of Thunder. But who knows?
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty niche market hitting there. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Other than that, been back in L.A., but, you know, I wrapped up my time on Martha's Vineyard. I talked to you very early in that trip. That was a long trip. It was the longest we've ever hung out, as a family with my kids and Emeka being there. But I did think about how, like being around, you know, my parents and my brother, it does bother me a little. I know that my parents now, like, listen to this religiously. I mean, they really listen to JRVP. So that has me a little hesitant to talk about anything. But it's like being, like, surrounded by, like, a bunch of me's, which is, like, it's so annoying. And it's not their fault, but it's like I just see in them all the things that I find annoying about myself, and especially what the people around me must find annoying about myself. And it's just like a bunch of Rosenthals, you know. It's too many Rosenthals.
It's good to hear someone put a voice to, like, what I can't stand about your family. You know, when you take Emeka back to Martha's Vineyard, do you guys go to the spot on the beach where you proposed to her and apologize?
Oh, I actually felt guilty halfway through that. Halfway through you asking, it was like, oh, that didn't even occur to me to go there while we were there. We did not go up to Menem's.
You didn't go there? Have you been back there since you've had kids? Yes. I would think you'd go with the kids, spread out a blanket, and then make your kids watch you make love right where you proposed.
God.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
I think I was scared off because my sister-in-law, Karen, who's hilarious, was like saying how she didn't really like Martha's Vineyard at first. Like, she didn't get it. She's always just like, yeah, you know, every time you go to Martha's Vineyard, it's like they drive you up to Menemsha, and you just like, there's just like a couple fish shacks up there and some boats, and you're just like, okay, that's it. And I think I was scared off of going up to Menemsha and making the trip. I was like, you're right. Like, this trip, we just didn't do much of anything. We played some baseball, you know, a lot of wiffle ball in the backyard, played some badminton. We saw some nature, but we like hung out.
Did you go and watch a sunset?
No.
I hated that. Either. When I was there,
that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. That's where you would go.
When I was there, I hated people would be like, let's go watch a sunset. We'd always miss it by like a few minutes. We wouldn't get to see really anything cool. And then people would clap. You'd hear clapping and applauding. Like, I get mad when people applaud when a plane lands or when a movie ends. I get annoyed at that. I don't like get mad, but I'm annoyed. But when people clap when the sun sets, it's like, who are you clapping for? What are you doing? It's the sun. It's doing its job.
God, I guess. You did want to see the sun rise, though. I have a very strong memory of you watching the sun go up one morning, you know, after an all-nighter there in Martha's Vineyard. I'm trying not to get you in trouble with your family.
Watching hands come out of the water. Yeah, that was a good sunrise. I wasn't paying attention to the sun as much as the parade of dead bodies I saw floating in the water at that point in my evening.
That
it was a good time.
So scary. That doesn't.
That is
sound
not
fun.
True. You were telling me how you were. It was basically like watching a movie screen, and you were talking about like what was on the movie screen, and you were like shocked that I was not seeing it, and no one.
Yeah,
else
it looked
was,
like white noise, but you could see a little bit of stuff. Like, it wasn't scary. It was just like it was. Let's just use the word trippy and leave it at that, and leave it at that. Anything from you, Erica? You had 2 weeks to get something done.
Actually my, like, you know, I told you guys that my girlfriend got into the PhD program at USC. So she's been like already starting these pre like courses, this like one prereq that she needs to finish. So, we haven't been doing like TV or stuff after dinner. So I've been reading a shit ton. I've read like 6 books in the last week alone. I've been reading like full books a day. That's how much time I guess I spend on
this. This is the first time in maybe 15, 20 episodes I've asked you about your time off, and you immediately just start talking about your girlfriend and then bragging about books you read.
Well, I thought you'd be proud. I've been a bookworm, been a total bookworm. I'm going back east for a wedding this weekend, so I'm excited for that.
It depends on, going to get a lot of reading done then. It depends on what you're reading.
Yeah. Okay?
It depends on what you're reading. And now it's time for... Did we get any notes? Nothing worth mentioning. And now it's time for, speaking of nothing worth mentioning, it's Erica's Corner. We got some new music this week. I like it. I mean, only because it's different. I think the other stuff was better, but I like that you're switching it up every couple of months. Erica Tamposi, our producer, she's got her own podcast on all things comedy with her friend Emma, called The Broadcast. Check it out if you're into masochism. We like to let her carve out a little bit of our podcast for herself because she's been with us so long. In the beginning, we were like, just shut the fuck up and let us do our job. And now we kind of let her open up a little bit and either play a game, do a funny quiz, or ask a viewer email. So, Erica, go ahead. What do you got for us this week?
All right. This is an email from Chris. And he says, "Hey, Anthony, Greg, and Erica, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I feel like I am a pretty good public speaker, but I am nervous for an upcoming speech I may have to give at a family party. From 3 people who obviously publicly speak often, do you guys have any advice on how to give a good and compelling speech?"
I'll go first on this one, but these are simple. I think you guys might have the same advice that I do. And Erica, do you ever do public speaking?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. You gave me the evidence. Right,
I won a speech writing contest. I was
when was speech writing?
Speech writing and reading. Yeah, performing, I guess. And then I'm like an improv UCB star. You never give me credit for that.
Stop.
No
when
one.
The, you like took a couple classes.
No,
when,
I had performances and stuff, and they asked me to join a troupe too because I'm that fucking funny.
Oh, how wow! Much? They don't ask just anybody to join an improv troupe. Yeah. You gotta fucking. That's gold medal shit right there. I would say the only thing I can say is avoid cliche. Not too many inside jokes.
Exactly.
And keep it short. I went to a wedding this weekend where there were a couple speeches, and some were good, and there was one that I was like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this to us?" And it was pretty bad. But the guy was clearly like a creative writing student or something who was trying to get it all in there. Don't read anything if you don't have to. And just honestly keep it short. No one's ever been mad that your speech was too short. Don't try to roast anybody. You're not me. You're not going to pull it off. You're just going to upset someone. A quick joke, maybe. But do like – I would think of jokes during a public speech as like a prank. And that if you have to put a lot of effort into the prank and the prank doesn't work, the prank's on you. But if it's just like a very simple prank, you didn't have to do that much, you didn't risk a lot, it's okay. That if you're going to make a joke, make it up top and make it easy. That if the joke bombs, it doesn't derail your entire speech. You know what I mean? I think that that's pretty much all I can say is avoid cliche, keep it short, and if you're going to make a joke, make it a quick, easy joke that if it bombs, it doesn't ruin the rest of what you got to say. If you make a joke early in a 10-minute speech and it bombs, you're going to be stuttering through that shit. And if something about the speech makes you nervous, cut it. Because it's better to just have confidence and speak naturally than be nervous and everyone feels bad for you and wants it to be over.
And Greg. don't have a 10-minute speech. Well, everyone's different. I have found, and I don't always like follow.
What do you mean, Greg, by that? Everyone's different.
I just mean some people want to be super prepared and have planned out, and that. Like knowing what you're going to say to me is a recipe for disaster because then you're trying to hit what you want to say. Like you have all these like things that you want to go through, and that doesn't work for me at all. Like just have two or three main ideas or whatever, or like one story that you want to tell to pin it to, and then just speak. And for me, that is much easier because any time where I almost like try to mentally script something out, then you're trying to stick to that script and it's going to be unnatural. No one speaks that way.
I'm like that too, but he emailed us about it, so clearly he's thinking about that.
Right, I think that's a good plan. You should think about it, but for me it's like, okay, I'm going to hit like this sort of point and that, or I'm going to like hit that story and like have this main idea and then just like go. Like don't like have it all planned out and written out sort of in your head.
Write it down, prepare it, practice it, but you don't have to be like word for word like what sentence comes next. Just go.
See, even writing it down, that would be.
But I like there was a valedictorian who was talking about, I think, like either coming out or being gay, and the principal or the superintendent took the speech from them and was like, "You can't give this." I told
they
you not to give the speech.
I thought, right?
No, they something just took like the, they took the speech and handed them another speech, and then either he or she just said it from memory. When I'm like, okay, if you're doing a valedictorian speech, it's important to you. You can memorize it that way, but I'm sure it wasn't word for word after that. But definitely prepare, because I've definitely gone up and not prepared at all for a speech, and it's been a fiasco. But that's old Jez going for the laugh. You know what I mean?
Same. I mean, and it depends on the situation. I just spoke at, you know, Chris Wesseling, you know, dedication to his softball, and it was terrible. I was dreading it. I didn't really want to do it, and I shouldn't have done it because the little that I spoke was bad. I just was not in the emotional place for it. There's no one, like, no one's gonna, and if I had just gone up there and taken my own advice right now, where I just like pinned it on one little story that made me think of him and just like spoke from the heart, then it would have been great. But instead I had an idea of like one or two little things to say, and it was fucking terrible. Like, you also don't have to do it, you know, necessarily.
Yeah. Yes. Don't be afraid.
I
to
wish
say
I didn't do
no
it.
To the speech. If you're like, hey, listen, maybe I shouldn't be talking at this funeral. Don't talk at the funeral.
Yep.
It's okay. People might be like, oh no, it'd be really good if you should. Like, I'm going to our friend Mike's wedding in a couple of months, and he was like, I'd love for you to give a speech, but not to everyone, just to some people. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not giving a speech at your wedding. No. You can't afford me, Mike. It's not going to happen.
Wait, which Mike?
Valdez.
Oh, Valdez.
What other Mike?
I don't know.
Colorado Mike?
I don't know. You call him Valdez normally.
Our friend who's getting married, who you're not going to the wedding, but you still haven't told him.
I'm
going to
go. I didn't know you turned him down. I was just thinking about it today because I was waiting to find out my schedule for the fall. And when they tell us the actual schedule, I know this show's coming back, which is on Fridays and Sundays. So it's a Sunday mornings. It's a little bit of a problem. The first thing I'm going to tell them is like, I need this one Sunday morning off because I'm going to be flying back from Miami because I'm a great friend.
Really? You have to work for 17 weeks out of the year and you're going to be like, one of them, I'm not going to be there?
At a time when
the NFL Network is slashing everything that moves.
This is like a digital-only show. It's a digital-only show. We do two a week. You know, one's on TV, one's not. They can live without me. The other posts have missed some stuff. Come on.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't miss this wedding because you missed the first one, didn't you?
That's the whole thing. You can't.
And this is the important one. This is the one that's going to stick. That first one was just like just fucking around. It was a practice wedding for this real one. All he got out of that first one was three kids. This one's going to be, you know, the one that really gets him over the hump. if you will. Erica, any other advice?
A lot of alimony too. Hey now.
I think he handled that well. He did a good job. I think it was a lump sum kind of situation. Maybe some hidden accounts here and there. I don't want to get him in trouble, but he broke some laws. You know, he's got three kids. Only two of them are going to college, but Mike's putting that money in his pocket.
One of them's not that bright anyway, so he's just be fine.
One of them's like two. I've never met his kids. I've seen pictures.
I mean, this is all nonsense. Mm-hmm. I thought we were just playing in the silly realm. I mean, if any of it was true.
We're talking about the three sons of one of our dear friends. I think it's okay to trash them on the podcast. I think it's all right. Never heard their voices. Shout out to Cairo. Erica, this advice was to you as well. Do you have anything to add?
No,
as a speech giver.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. I do think also, especially like at a wedding, like if you do feel like you need to write something down, I've never been at a wedding and been like, oh, someone, you know, had that written down. So if you aren't like me, Greg and Anthony, who I think a lot of us.
Wait, are you putting us in the same boat? Okay,
yes.
we're not in the same fucking ocean.
Oh my god. Okay, me and Greg, who like to go off the cuff and not think about
like two little things down. You did not write it down, but I don't think everyone is like that. That is my point.
But every time someone reads off,
there's never been. I've seen a lot of wedding speeches, and everyone that's read off is not good.
It's never once good. But here I am trying to pander to them if they're really having a difficult time. Like, no one's gonna write home and be like, oh, Chris had the best speech of the night. But if you need to write it down, I don't think you should beat yourself up about that, because
they'll make fun of you
gives?
In the moment, forget. Yeah. Let me tell you this, speaking of this wedding I went to, if you're gonna write it down, have it printed out on like a big piece of paper. Don't be afraid to have a big piece of paper. These people were reading out of little like moleskin notebooks and kept losing their place, like the page would turn, and they had to hold a microphone and read from the book, and it was just like, guys, What is this? What is this? A Netflix show about being in high school? I don't need this shit.
And if if you are a little nervous about it, just like keep in mind, like if you don't do well, you will remember it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And last thing,
because that's happened to me, and I do. I think about my bad speeches often. I'm gonna think about the Chris thing for the rest of my life.
I gave a terrible speech at my at a funeral once. I talked about it in Thoughts and Prayers, maybe. I talked about this giving a bad wedding speech, but there were two other people who gave speeches that were worse than mine, and I was so relieved. It's like, just don't be the worst speech out of all of them. And if you're going to drink before the speech, if it's like a wedding and everyone's drinking, do not drink too much before the speech. You might think it's like going to help you. It helps you to a certain point, and then it just makes you not worried about what you're doing. Do not slur during the speech. It's a speech, not a podcast, where it's okay to just slur your way through it. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
So if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably heard us talk about Helix, the mattresses we're obsessed with, that we love, that we got. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Allform. Same company, but now they're getting out of the bedroom. They're going into the living room, making sofas. And I'm thrilled about this. I came back from my vacation and had my Allform boxes waiting for me. It's a one-person job to take them out of the boxes and set it all up, especially if that one person is Emeka, not me. I had nothing to do with it. And we're not just talking about like a little sofa. This is a four-person sectional with like a chaise. You know, it's huge. It's taken up.
Chaise?
That's what they call it. That's like,
no,
you know,
it's
what
a chaise. A chaise?
No, I don't fucking
know. Oh, I thought it was a chaise lounge. You know, I was on Team Greg on this one, but no, Erica, you're 100% right.
I've heard people call it. It's amazing.
Dumb
people. I got it from my brother as a housewarming gift. He moved into a new place with his fiance, and they love it. I sat on it. It's very comfortable, sturdy. And I'll tell you this, it's more difficult to put together than IKEA. But you want it to be, because it's so much sturdier and more comfortable than that IKEA bullshit. IKEA doesn't advertise with us. They suck. They want to. They've offered us so much money, and we say no. We've been waiting on all form. This stuff, go on the website and check it out. It's legit.
So
it's
nice.
Comfortable. You will love it. You look at it and you're like, this looks good. Is it cheap? Is it going to be hard? You get it. You put it together, and it's your furniture for the rest of your life. It's awesome.
No, it fills up the room, too. You can pick your fabric. It's spill, stain, and scratch resistant. They've got armchairs, love seats, delivered directly to your home. Can be like an 8-seat sectional, and I'm saying it looks good, but it's very comfortable too. To find your perfect sofa, you go to allform.com/JRVP. They even have a forever warranty, literally forever. So you can pick out any type of sofa you want, any color, all that. Customize it, and Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. That's 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. They hooked us up, so you should hook us up too, and go check out some Allform.
Hook yourself up. We've already been hooked up. You hook yourself up. We're passing on the hookups to you. It's like college.
Also sponsored today by Keeps. We've talked about Keeps before. It's about it's not just about us. It's about the 50 million men in the U.S. Who suffer from male pattern baldness. There's only two FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss. So what does Keeps do? They offer them both. They stick them together. It's like shampoo and conditioner. Finally, someone thought of it. Keeps did it. They've got both of the hair loss fixing medications in there. It's a low cost treatment, start at just $10 a month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, proven results, more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. You know, that widow's peak is starting to creep back for me a little bit. You know, I'm a television personality, Anthony. I should start doing some preventative Keeps care.
You know, I've been seeing my hairline creep back a little bit, and I've always been worried, like, what's my mailman going to think if he sees me getting this stuff? So the fact that it's discreet packaging, I don't have to worry at all. My mailman,
or your doorman,
cool.
You got the guy at the front desk. He takes your packages for you too.
Describe my building more.
KEEPS.com/JRVP to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/JRVP.
And that was
ad copy.
You know, I do live in a building. I live in a building with a front desk, like 24-hour front desk, valet, all that stuff. It's like really good. And I've lived in this building a long time. I've been in a couple other buildings with doormen, and I like took them for granted. And then I stayed at my brother's building, and they have like a doorman who's only there from like 9 to 5 and then bolts, and you can't get anything. You have to have your own stuff to get in. And the doorman they have is mean. Like, mean to the people who lived there. Like, my brother said he went to get a package and got, like, yelled at because he went on the wrong day. That it was, like, not convenient for the door person. That I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I went down at one point and they were listening to the radio really loud and didn't have time for my questions and my bullshit. That I was like, I'm so glad I live in the building I live in. I'll name it later. I'll give you my address at some point.
That's like a Mikey Jeselnik level doorman, and you've got an Anthony Jeselnik level doorman. Just saying. He's earned it.
It's time for
What Would Anthony Do? Starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
All right, Greg, your time to shine now.
Yeah, this is where I bring up something that's been happening in my life, and you tell me what you do, Anthony. And, you know, we talked about losing Seaweed, my turtle, a few weeks ago. Now it's time. We're back from vacation. We're here. My kids just took a mini camp. It was 3 hours a day. It was like a class where they were introduced to a lot of animals, like who taught them about the animals, a lot of reptiles, a lot of snakes, stuff like that in this class. And they're all about like, it's time to go replace seaweed. So what animal should we replace seaweed with? Like, what should we do? And dogs and cats are pretty much off the table because of allergens.
Yeah. See, if dogs and cats are off the table, then I don't know what you do. I mean, it like depends on like what did
There's
they
so
like
many
the
options.
Most from the
I'm
class.
Actually,
but well, all the options smell, and you can't pet them. Like cats and dogs are good because you can pet them and play with them, and they bite the person trying to bathe them. Those are the three things people love about cats and dogs. I don't know if you can't keep a turtle alive, And I assume Emeka is afraid of snakes.
Yeah. I really give my two kids, 9 and 6, a lot of credit, especially Elle. She put a huge snake around her neck during this class. Walker just held it. It was like a, I think it was like a python. And she put it, it was like an albino python. I don't know, man. They had a lot of like crazy lizards and hedgehogs and stuff in this class. I'm suddenly thinking, this is weird, but I might become like a lizard guy, you know?
You know, I mean, that's what we called you in college. Hey, where's the lizard guy? When's the lizard guy coming over?
They're kind of fun, though. I mean, you can pet them. You can play with them a little.
You know what? I'm gonna say if you're going lizard, if you're going amphibian, amphibious or reptilian, I'm gonna say like being a kid and wanting a lizard, and knowing it was never a possibility. I always thought the coolest one was the chameleon.
Yeah,
because it does change colors. You get to watch it do things. You're not afraid of it. It's not going to bite you. It's not going to eat anyone. If it dies, you can just get a new one. I don't know why you didn't just replace seaweed immediately with a turtle.
Well, we might get a tortoise. Yeah, we could. We might get a tortoise, but they don't.
Tortoises
they don't
live forever. I feel.
Yeah, but you can at least play with them a little bit. They do smell. Maybe they'd be outside a little bit. At least you could play with them a little. It's like a turtle's in water.
What do you race?
Because they're outside. You know, you could at least pet it a little bit and feed it stuff and, you know, do little things.
You pet its shell.
Why don't you just get a dog?
He just said that in the beginning.
They're allergic.
No, but there's hypoallergenic dogs all over the place.
Yeah, they don't have the home for it.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the bearded dragon. They're pretty crazy looking and cool.
Are they safe? That sounds like
they're pretty safe.
I think Komodo.
This class, it's sort of demystified, you know, that they're, you know, that they're that these things are dangerous or whatever. They're good pets.
How big is the bearded dragon?
It can grow fairly big, a couple feet long, for sure.
Jesus, you're gonna have a tank for that? I mean, I understand if the kids are into it, great. But like chameleons,
yeah, they
are
tiny.
They can fit in the palm of your hand. I think bearded dragon, you're gonna regret. You're gonna regret that bearded dragon was my nickname.
They look cool.
There was a girl in middle school who had a bearded dragon and snakes, and nobody wanted to talk to her. Are your kids going to be like the bearded dragon kids?
Erica, were you that little girl?
No, I wasn't.
Not knowing what a bearded dragon is at all, I'm going to say chameleon, just because it changes its colors when it gets on things. You can put things in the cage and watch it change color when it goes near it, even though I feel like they never work. Chameleons are like the mood ring of the reptile family or the amphibian family. I don't know which one it's part of, but that they don't never really work. It's like supposed to maybe the first time you try it, it does something, and then it doesn't really do much at all. But I think chameleon would be the most.
Just look at the pictures. The bearded dragons, they're very friendly. You can take them for walks on a leash.
And you want to do that? You put your turtle outside for 20 minutes and it died. You want to take this fucker on a leash?
Yeah, we're gonna try not to bake this.
Now,
one.
When you went to see this animal thing, and you're looking at all these animals, like did any of those fuckers ever just like blast out of the wall and have like a huge cum shot? And that was
What Would Anthony Do, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Now, you know, before we move on, I'm gonna address something. I've seen some comments. I don't know where I've seen them over the weeks about What Would Anthony Do. That like sometimes Anthony's funny and sometimes he tries to be sincere. And it's like, oh, he had a good sincere one, so he keeps chasing the sincerity. Some of these questions lend themselves to sincerity, and some of them lend themselves to comedy. When Greg's like, hey, my mom just died, how do I tell my kids? That's not where the
Shit.
Comedy lives. You know? That's
they
I'm,
listen,
I'm,
they
I'm
listen
spoiling
to
it.
This.
I'm spoiling it for next week. I'm spoiling next week's question.
Oh my god.
Like, hey, my kids caught my mom and dad making love again.
Shit,
what do I
Anthony.
Say this time? What do I say to my kids about that? That's where I can bring in comedy. But it's when one of them dies and then the dad gets caught making love to the corpse. I don't know where you find a joke there. I'm trying to give real advice to help these kids through life.
Now I just like imagine my dad, especially for some reason, on his walks, you know. He's like going a lot of walks these days, you know, and listen to the podcast. And so, hey, Dad.
I can see your dad like your mom passes away, you know, and hopefully it's like 10, 15, 20 years from now. You know, I see your dad throwing himself on top of the coffin as it's being lowered in just to try to make love one last time. You know, sometimes it's like, I want to be buried with them. I love them so much. He would be like, get me a drill and nobody look at me for the next 20, 25 minutes and cover your ears. Turn your backs and cover your ears. I'll let you know when I'm done. You know, that's what would Anthony do that I could josh around with. Now.
You got to stop listening to these critics, you know, Anthony. You're bigger than that.
I like them. I like because they're fans, but they misunderstand what JRVP is all about. Okay, but I do enjoy the negative and the positive. But I'll fight back. I'll bite you. I'll bite you like you're trying to give me a bath, and I've known you for a year. And now, let's get to headlines. Now let's get the image of Greg's father.
Yeah,
a 90-year-old man having sex with the corpse of his 85-year-old deceased wife.
They were
this first headline.
They were like so pleased when they realized we didn't talk about them at all. You know, last show where I was at the house, and now they're going to be disappointed by this.
Hey, if you don't want us talking about you, keep it in your pants. It's a simple recipe.
We love sex robots here at JRVP. We do.
Love
just
them.
Like every episode. In fact, I think last episode we had one. But there's always something missing.
We got to get a sponsor, like a sex robot sponsor.
Seriously, reach out to All Things Comedy.
I'm gonna give it to my brother as a wedding present. That would be the best wedding present you could give someone as a sex robot, and just make them open it in front of everyone. Like, I know I was responsible for the cake, but I got you this instead, and then watch their family as they open it. I think that would be classic.
Well, because you can get now like clones of people as sex robots. That's like
a clone.
Right. But you could get one to look like your wife, and you'd be like, look, I know you guys are young and healthy now, but you're not going to be this young forever. You can keep this robot. Anthony's got to spit out his beer. Come on, do it.
I'm laughing at the idea of getting a sex robot that looks like your wife, and then just when you get into fights, just making her watch you like beat it up.
What?
That's like terrible. Just making her watch you. Like, is that like if you sexually assault a sex robot that looks just like your wife in front of her, is that a crime? Like, is that better than doing nothing?
Like that, I mean, it's definitely not better than doing nothing, but it's better than doing something.
The only reason to get one that looks like your wife is to do bad things to it in lieu of ever, you know, doing something bad to her. But I think that would be really funny. It's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, I didn't mow the lawn right? Well, come in the garage. I want you to watch something. And then just start beating the hell out of a sex robot.
No, I think that's I don't know. That sounds illegal.
It's not. I think not yet. The robots haven't taken over. The robots haven't gotten woke.
So we haven't, in all these stories, though, had any elderly sex robots. And,
that's why I think I speak for all of us when I say that's why we haven't gotten sex robots yet. It's because they look too young. You know, it seems inappropriate.
Thankfully,
when I was a kid, I had a My Buddy that I messed around with.
Oh. For some reason, I made my kids like learn the My Buddy song years ago when they were like really young and would just do anything. Yeah, I would just like sing it around the house for some reason, and I made them learn that song.
You made them like learn it?
My Buddy and Me. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, when you get bored when they're like
bored. It was the doll for kids who had no friends. I thought that was great. I loved it.
The commercials are really worth going back and watching. I don't, you maybe don't even need commercials for elderly sex robots. That just sells itself. The problem has been solved by a company called Real Doll. They've created the world's first old ass sex robot, complete with wrinkles and gray hair.
I think this is great. I think, like, I mean, is Real Doll like the main sex doll manufacturer out there? It sounds like it would be. Real Doll sounds like the first name you would take in doing this. But I think I completely believe that this would be a thing. It sounds weird, like it would be funny. But like the number one porn in America is like MILF porn, you know, is like older women porn that I can see people having like a thing for. It's like hey, Kellen Winslow, if you ever get out of prison, we've got a treat for you. Ugh. It is an elderly sex robot. Kellen Winslow Jr., sorry. I didn't mean to besmirch the good name of Kellen Winslow. But wasn't Kellen Winslow Jr. arrested? Isn't he in jail for sexually assaulting several old women?
Yeah, you've nailed it. You've got it.
I thought you would jump in there with your NFL expertise, but I guess I'm the expert on this episode.
I mean, what am I gonna say here? He's
junior vice president.
I got Greg all flustered thinking about old sex dolls.
I mean, it makes total sense because I think as you age, you're attracted to the age you are. So who's buying some sex robots?
That is not a thing. I mean, some people
I think
do.
It is.
Some
I think it
sure.
is.
No,
I think it is.
Sure,
I am attracted to 40-year-olds now. It's weird to
how many?
You know,
name them.
My wife name is, number one right there. That's what happens. Your age, your proclivities mature. So who's buying some sex robots? Maybe some 70 and 80-year-old guys.
Devil's advocate, I'm going to say a lot of 70 and 80-year-old guys like your dad who are buying sex robots like your dad is on the regular. Hey, Mr. Rosenthal, get the warranty so you don't have to keep on buying these things after you break them. I'm going to say I bet a lot of these guys get the younger ones.
Well, of course. That's all that's been available. I'm just saying there's some, and many people might want the other.
I think it's supply and demand. I think these are going to be popular. It's going to be a niche thing. It's going to be very popular. But I think the younger ones aren't worried about losing work. They're still going to be flying off the shelves. But is the rest of them old?
Did you see the picture? Did you see the picture?
I did not.
It's really funny because it's confusing because normally sex dolls are women.
I picture the mom from 6 feet under when I think of elderly sex doll.
That would be solid. Yeah, that would be good.
Is the rest of them saggy? Do you know what I mean? Are the breasts
probably a little
sagging down?
Probably a
or they,
little.
Is the body normal and it's just their face and hair look old?
Well, the picture is very strange.
Oh, my gosh. No, that looks like a puppet.
It looks like that movie Amelisa.
Oh,
do you remember Amelisa? It looks like the
Charlie
puppets
Kaufman
from
movie that one saw.
That was deeply depressing, and Emeka has not wanted to go to a movie with me since taking her to that. The doll looks like a Canadian guy or lesbian. You can't really tell if it's a man or a woman.
Kind of.
Who works around the house a lot. A lot of woodworking, Canadian guy.
Yeah,
that's a very strange choice.
That sex doll drives a truck for sure and has a look on her face as if she was kidnapped to be sold into sex slavery and they forgot about her and then found her later on but still made her become a sex slave. Doesn't look happy. I feel like the sex dolls I've seen around my house look like they've got a smile on their face. They're happy to see me every time. That one looks just mad. You just told it what it is, and it's unhappy, which maybe is a thing for people. I don't know.
But if you can clone them, then you could get it after almost anyone, I guess. You could do a Betty White sex doll, but Betty White now.
As opposed to Betty White back in the Golden Girls days when she was young?
Well, or back in the day, yeah. She was an actress.
Okay, serious question for you, Greg. Let's say you got your mom, you cloned your mom, you get your mom a sex doll of herself. You give it to her fully clothed, not in a box. It's just sitting on the couch. She's like, Mom, I got this for you. How long do you think until she figures out what it actually is?
That it's
Does she think you just got her a mannequin that looks like her? And it's
she would just
Greggy,
assume...
thank you. But she would eventually figure it out. She'd eventually spill some punch on its plaid shirt that they put it in for some reason, and take it off and be like, "Oh my god, this is way too correct."
She wouldn't hide how bad of a present she thought it was immediately. I mean, that was what I was sort of talking about being around my family was. I realize they have those traits that I have, which is she wouldn't try to be polite about it. She'd be like, "What is this?" She would. For a second, she would pretend oh, this is thoughtful. But no, the last thing she wants to look at is an image of herself.
Yes, but I guarantee if you told her that you made it, if you're like, Mom, I made this for you, she'd be like, oh, Greg, this is the best thing ever. And she would show all her friends. I mean, I know what I'm getting your mom for Christmas this year. It's a sex doll of herself. And I'm going to tell her that the three of us made it together. We all chipped in and made it. It cost us a lot of money to like to get the tools and the training, which we had to go through, and it's the best we could do. I hope she likes it and puts it in a place of prominence, like on her front porch.
I promise we won't talk about my parents this much.
Do they make male sex dolls too?
Well, that was the thing. I was like, is that like kind of a butch woman, or was that a man in that sex doll? I couldn't tell. I think it was a man.
I think it's a woman with just short hair.
Of course, and they make male sex dolls for women. Yeah, I think they do.
Then I think I'm going to get one of your mom and your dad, have them on the couch holding hands, and surprise your parents with it. Like, have them wearing, like, ski masks as if they're robbing the house. So when your parents freak out, be like, no, guys, I'm just kidding around. And then pull the masks off and be like, it's dolls of you guys. And then see how long it takes them to figure out what kind of dolls they are. I think that's a good
I don't think they'll ever figure it out. Why would they be taking off the doll's clothes? They'll never know. They'll just be like, hey, guys, you know, they'll be inviting all their friends over. Look at this lifelike recreation that my thoughtful son's friend Anthony made. They're very proud of you. They think you're funny. You know, they're very proud of your career.
But I think if I gave them a doll of themselves, they would immediately rip the clothes off to make sure. Do you think I can work your parents into every headline?
I mean, I know now you're going to. So what does it even matter?
I might not. I feel like that was enough.
Let's head to Austria, somewhere I once went with my brother Dean. How about that?
I've been there. I drove through it.
It's where a 65-year-old man got a fantastic surprise recently when he sat down to take a dump at 6 a.m. in the morning, and a 5-foot-long albino python bit him in the genitals. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, was he? How badly was he hurt? I assumed that he got bit on the butt just from reading the headline, but it bit him on the genitals. I'm assuming that means.
Does that mean that balls, or does that mean?
I know that could mean either one.
I would think
there's a huge difference.
That's what's there.
It's a huge difference.
Exactly.
Is it balls, or is it the? Is it snake on snake violence, or is it? Or did he go? Did he go for the nuggets? Because I mean, they're both bad. But pythons don't have teeth, do they?
Yeah, I think they do, don't they?
Maybe tiny little ones, but they don't have fangs because they like crush you and then eat and swallow you. They don't.
My kids
you.
Would know. They're experts. But on they can pythons hang on. Now. But
I think this is everyone's biggest fear. It's like when you get from the time you're potty trained to like until you die, you're worried about something coming out of the drain and biting you while you're like when you hear about a snake coming out of a drain, it's usually like someone either peeing or walking in the bathroom. It's rarely when you're actually sitting down on the toilet. And this has got to like ruin the rest of this guy's life forever.
How do you like, come back what, from that?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I think,
not,
I think
is that everyone's biggest fear? I have never once been
you've
afraid
never thought
of a,
about
of a
that?
No.
Yeah.
That is not
oh my god.
It's on my mind.
Think about it every time I'm sitting down.
I'm one with the snakes. That's why I need to bring them into my house.
Ugh. Maybe you've already been bit and you just forgot it. You blacked it out and now you don't worry about it because it is, I mean, it's a real, have you ever used an outhouse? That's like terrifying because you have no idea what's down there. And you're like, anything can come up here and grab me. It's really scary. I haven't been in one since I was like a kid, even a Port-a-John. You're a little scared of what's down there. But yeah, a snake coming through the drain and biting you anywhere on your body, not just your nuggets or your snake. The butt even is really bad, a really bad place to get bit. So what happened after that? And how does he know it's the neighbors?
I just want to cut the little sound clip of you going the nuggets or the snake or the butt. You know, that was my favorite like 7 seconds.
Cut it out and send it to your parents. Like I think it's funny that if he had never seen this snake before and just went and banged on his neighbor's door, like it's got to be Jeff. I guarantee
it was, yeah,
what's
his neighbor? The pythons got out of the neighbor's cages or wherever they were keeping them. Yeah, and it was like his next door neighbor. They didn't have to go far to figure out what had happened.
Do they kill the snake? Is it like when a dog bites you got to put it down, or they just gave the snake back and was like, I'll send you the hospital bill?
Well, plus the snakes were like in the sewage system and stuff. Do you want to
not all the way, I mean, I would think the pipes are connected, that it's easy to get from toilet to toilet in a building.
Oh, that like literally makes my skin crawl.
Like, remember a couple years ago when there was a family living underneath a pet store?
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, they had giant snakes that fell through the ceiling and killed a couple kids that were sleeping in a bedroom. I think getting bit on the butt while you're on the toilet is worse than your kids dying by snakes.
I agree.
Prove me wrong.
Well, you have to poop standing up the rest of your life, I guess. That's a pretty big cost. Or you try to. I don't know how that works, but
it's not, no, that's how people were meant to poop. Is like kind of like in a crouch, up on your toes, just crouching, getting it all out, maybe in a hole. But yeah, toilets were invented for quite some time. I think that was it's post Jesus. Jesus pooped crouching down. That's a fact. Yeah, that's why they put him on the crucifix, because it's the least embarrassing way they could show him. And you still want to get your kids a snake?
I do.
This might be my favorite story this week.
Not a snake, but maybe a lizard. But I think we'll probably get a tortoise in the end is what's going to happen. This story is great. It's about a California correctional officer, Tina Gonzalez, that they just don't make correctional officers elsewhere like they do in Cali. She's been sentenced to jail time after having sex with an inmate repeatedly while she was on the job. In a special twist, she did it in front of 11 other prisoners who were watching.
So she only had sex with one prisoner. She wasn't just like doing a bunch of them. She had sex with one prisoner, and one time it was in front of a bunch of other people, and that's how they got
snitched. It was regular with this one prisoner. And I don't know if she had sex any other times, but yeah, it was this one that she was all about. She actually cut a hole in her uniform to make it all happen. And it was, yeah, like they had no privacy, like, so it was around other prisoners.
Was she like, I want you to watch, or they just like, oh, look at this, look what's happening?
I think
they're
just like in a jail cell, you know, they had nowhere to go, you know. She
so
did
people
it
just
to
people
him
just
in
happened
the cell.
To see them, but it wasn't like I'm doing it for them. Because if you look, I clicked the article for this one. I didn't read it, but I clicked to see what she looked like, and she is hot.
She's looks
like
good.
Like, she got the job because she wanted to have sex with an inmate in front of other inmates. She looks like, because there's beautiful, there's pretty, there's cute, and then there's, like, hot, where, like, if you were, like, this is a porn star who was in a movie about this, you would be like, yeah, that's the porn star. She looked like that. They're like, she had no business having this job unless she wanted to do what she did. How long did you, how much was her sentence? How long did she get, how long did
like
she go away
for? A year and a half or something, a year and a half to three. It's really severe, but partly it's severe because she had zero remorse. Like, when they brought it up to her, she was just like, fine, I quit, I don't care. And it sounded like at the trial, she was just like, I don't regret it at all. Like, it was great.
I think this happens a lot.
Baller,
having read stories about prison and like seen documents about prison, I think this happens a lot. Between like, or it's not just men and women. It's not just women guards and male prisoners. But like, Orange is the New Black. There was a male guard who slept with a female prisoner. I think this is a normal thing that happens a lot. But never with someone like who's a smoke show, like this chick was. I guarantee she's having sex in whatever prison she goes to,
yeah.
For sure.
You make a good point. Like, this is probably does happen fairly often, but it became a big story because she's so attractive.
Yep.
Who have you worked with? I mean, this is ultimately like getting down, even though it's, you know, jail, it's like, you know, it's work. Who have you worked with that just has sex, or you would want to see have sex in front of lots of other people?
Oh my God. I mean, if I could pick anyone, I wouldn't say, I mean, technically I have worked with them before, but definitely your mom and dad. You weren't leading me into that? What did you think I was going to say? It's for sure.
I don't know. I was just
like, the idea of being in a prison where I'm just being watched by your mom and dad at all times. Come on. And 11 people who just are in the next cell over. Forget
just
about
stuck.
It. Forget about it. I don't need a doll. I've got two dolls. And they breathe.
What?
I want to go back and see how many of the stories that we've talked about, how many headlines we talk about, end with you going, what? And then cutting to music. I bet I'm going to say 60%.
Okay, I'll stop doing it then.
No, I don't mind. I'm just saying that we get it a lot. I think it's better than the oh yeah up top that you give 100% of the time.
I didn't even know I was doing that, but then people started mentioning it, and so now I'm doing it on purpose. But you just stopped me from saying the what. I don't know. I wasn't ready. This is like exhausting. All this parenting.
All this talk about your mom and dad having sex.
Yes.
Isn't what you signed up for? Well, that's what the podcast is about. Let's change the thing on iTunes.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
Nope.
Oh, it's one more. I just needed the break or something. I mean, I needed some better help is what I needed. Let's just do it right now.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
All right. You want to do one more story? Fine. Let's talk Juvenile then. Back in the news this week, Juvie, who we've mentioned on the show before.
For sure.
Once showing up to a friend's house and just knocking at the door looking for his girlfriend at one point, was the king of New Orleans when we lived there, and still the king, especially after releasing his song Vax That Thang Up this week. Let's take a listen.
Instead of Back That Ass Up, which turned into Back That Thang Up, it's now Vax That Thang Up. Is it just a song, or is it a commercial where they play a clip of this, or
it's a whole song.
Okay. It's a whole song. The song's good, but we're just going to hear a quick clip.
Hit me. I love it when you hold me, eggplant emoji. You could be the young hot thing, I'll be the OG. Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? You're a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up? I got my first impression, we saw the video there. People look good.
Yeah, Manny Fresh.
Yeah, they did not crack at all. They all look good. I like that they're wearing the visor thing. They're wearing masks. I'm a fan of this. I think I bet they got paid a good chunk of money. You know, they say they're like they're doing all this, like the government's giving all this money to try to get people vaccinated. It's like, what are you doing with that? They gave it all to Juvenile, and they were like, we're gonna give you 20 seconds in the booth. Change it to Vax That Thang Up. I'm into it.
No,
Juvenile being responsible.
They changed the whole, you know, they each do a verse. Lil Wayne, who has a verse on the song, was replaced by Mia X. Haven't seen Mia X in a while, so it was good to see her back in the mix. But Juvie and Manny Fresh, I mean, it was hilarious, like the rhymes that they made up to work in this song. I mean, like one of them was, what did he just say? Feeling kind of lonely, eggplant emoji.
So they're basically saying you can't get laid. It's almost like in the 90s when they were like, you got to use a condom, and they tried to make condoms like cool, which they are, unless you got a doll, then you can go without. But yeah, eggplant emoji is
Juvie's got some better rhymes as usual. Juvenile's rhymes are a lot better than
and they're shaking the vax cards like in the music Manny. Video. Yeah. Oh yeah, the whole thing is
the production value is good. They did get a lot of money, and this is one of those things that's an advertisement. It's for a dating app, BLK, which is, you know.
Oh, so it's not just a government funded. Like, no. This is brought to you by.
Well,
Louisiana.
Maybe they gave it to the dating. No, it's for a dating app, and usually I hate these things because you're like giving them free advertising. But when you ball out as much as Vax That Thang Up, I love it.
Listen,
100%. I have watched and I have listened to the whole thing multiple times. It's good.
Get your second shot. Ha. Like if he did like all his songs, like all the hit songs, but as back songs, I would buy that album and I would pump it all the time.
I guarantee you they are playing this song at like F&M's at 2 a.m. like mm-hmm. this weekend. No yeah. doubt. People are going wild
are
for
going
it.
Crazy. Yeah, why would you not? Everything about this is cool and great. And I love that it's Juvenile. I bet Lil Wayne was like, I'm not cool enough to be on this. I'm not a big enough star to take this on. But it is. I mean, can we play more? Do we have more of it? Or was that just the feeling kind of lonely eggplant emoji?
I mean, I don't know. I just want to
hear it again.
One clip.
Yeah. I love it when you hold me, eggplant emoji. You could be the young hot thing, I'll be the OG.
Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing? I'm just a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing? I do like they've moved out of, you know, Magnolia Projects for the video. Now they're Uptown. They're in a different part of the, so it's, you know, it's a different video.
It's still killing it in the streets. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Oh yeah, BetterHelp. This podcast sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. You check out betterhelp.com/JRVP for 10% off your first month. You may be feeling down and out and depressed, or like you're at a total loss. If your stress is high, your temper is shorter than usual, even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload the stress, to get it out, talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life, someone who isn't going to judge you or
totally.
Take
like, let's say,
sides.
Let's say like you're in a relationship and things you're getting frustrated, and to get your frustration out, you're taking your wife or your husband out in the garage and making them watch you beat up a sex doll you made of them. That's not healthy.
No.
BetterHelp.
That's like passive aggressive. You don't want to do that. You can.
Let's say you get two sex dolls that look like your wife is identical twins, and you just like smash their faces together in front of the actual real live wife. You know what I mean? And they pick up their feet and swing them around and throw them into traffic. Don't do that. Go to BetterHelp instead.
Not healthy.
H-E-L-P.
Yeah, it's more affordable than in-person therapy. You can start
communicating. More affordable than a sex doll. I'll tell you that right now. Especially a customized one that looks like your mom.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. JRVP listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/JRVP. That's BETTERHELP.com/JRVP.
Do you have 10% questions about your sex doll? Call BetterHelp. They've got millions of people waiting to listen to you talk about your sex doll. Any like if it breaks, if you cut its throat, you thought it would heal like automatically, but it doesn't.
What?
BetterHelp. You think your sex doll is immortal, but it's not. You need to talk to someone. BetterHelp has a therapist specifically for that.
You should have quit on the throat slashing. You're not going to top that.
And that was
ad copy.
Greg, what's your last headline?
Oh, boy. It's from Erica's home state of New Hampshire. You know, the great place that's a reminder like, hey, the Northeast can love Trump, too. New Hampshire. this story, it's as New Hampshire as it gets. It's about an uncle who was shot in the head in what was described as a freak accident by his 8-year-old nephew while they were hunting squirrels. To which I say, it's not a freak accident if the kid is 8. That's pretty much like what's built into, you know, shooting squirrels with an 8-year-old. Someone's getting shot in the head.
A BB gun or a real gun?
This is a real gun.
So uncle's dead? Or uncle's just...
He's alive. Like a 20, he's
it
alive.
Like, it was like a 22 when he's okay.
I think it just like went, you know, it doesn't, if it's not a, you know, it depends where it hits in the head, whether it's going to kill you. The uncle's okay.
If you're shooting squirrels by yourself and you like drop the gun and you get shot in the head, that's a freak accident. But I agree with Greg 100%. If you're shooting squirrels with an 8-year-old boy and he's not your son, you know, he's your nephew, not your actual son, you're going to get shot in the head. 9 times out of 10, you're getting shot right in the head. Like, did the squirrel run up the uncle's arm? And he was like, "Oh, better get it." What happened here?
Was it a dropped gun? It bounced off the wall basically, and then hit. So he was trying to teach the child how to shoot and hunt the gun. And the local police was like, "It's not against the law. It's not against the law to teach your child how to shoot and take them how to hunt, even when they're 8."
That's true. These with are a 22, kids. I see no problem with that. 8-year-old with a 22, that's okay. In New Hampshire,
I mean, stop.
Yeah, a 22 rifle, like in hunting, not in L.A., no. Not in New York, no. But in, like, the boonies where they hunt all the time. Like, there are kids who get school off for, like, deer hunting season. They're putting a 22 rifle, like the lowest powered rifle you can get or lowest caliber rifle you can get, and giving it to an 8-year-old, I think under supervision is okay. I do.
It's legal. I guess the law is if you're under 16, you just have to be with someone that's over 18. So just, yeah, might as well get like your whole T-ball team and line them up with Uzis or whatever and just go out in the forest and start shooting. I mean,
you
why are they
what
shooting
I said
squirrels?
By changing every detail. Because Rummy hates squirrels, and Rummy would love me to take him out shooting squirrels. He would be so excited. But I think I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. And you guys, if you want to disagree with me, go ahead. If this 8-year-old boy is this week's JRVP, Listener of the Week.
Woo! Way to go.
And now it's time for
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
I've got a book. I'm excited about this one. It's called A Children's Bible by Lydia Millett. Was one of New York Times' best five novels last year. Sometimes, like, a book at the beginning kind of gives you the shock of, like, what the fuck is going on here? And then as you get into it, like, the book starts changing. This book did it for me. It is a little bit of a book about a bunch of kids on vacation with their parents at, like, a summer house. And then I don't want to give away anything that happens after that. But things, you know, they go a little awry from there. And it's continually surprising. Like, it starts one way and you do not know where this book is going. This book, I think, is one Anthony will love.
So it's got nothing to do with the Bible?
No. It's like one of the kids starts reading this children's Bible, and it's sort of got a theme in the book. No, it's about, like, a bunch of rich kids, kids of rich parents, and it captures, this isn't giving anything away, like, it captures the total disgust that you have for parents and adults in general as a teenager, like, as well as, like, any book I've ever read. Almost like the hatred and, like, just embarrassment.
The way you've described it makes me think of another book. Would you compare it at all, without giving any spoilers away, to Earthlings?
No. Well, maybe a little. More, if anything, thematically, a little, like, drive your plow over the bones of the dead. But also a little Severance mixed in, something we've read there. Like, things go awry, for sure. And it gets wild. It's from last year. It just came out in paperback. It's called The Children's Bible. Lydia Millett. A Children's Bible, okay. Yeah. It's a short read. It's like 200. I was, like, pissed that I didn't read it on any of my long plane rides, because it would have been the perfect book to just finish in one plane ride. Like, it's that quick and that good. It's really good.
Sounds
good.
One of
my tops.
I'm going to read that. Eric, what do you got for us this week? Anything? You had 2 weeks. You had 2 weeks to read something that will impress me.
Well, I don't know, because we like different genres, but this one is The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. And basically, this husband's mistress dies, gets stabbed in her bed, and the only one that can get him off is his wife, who's this, like, huge lawyer, like, criminal defense lawyer. So not only does she find out that he had an affair, but now has to defend him in court against his dead mistress, and basically it goes between his perspective and her perspective back and forth, and it's, like, a total page turner. Like, I had no idea the ending. Normally I feel like I can guess. It was so good. It was so much fun to read.
If it's anything like The Perfect Nanny, I'd be into it. But it sounds like you just fell asleep watching Bravo and then woke up with, like, a bunch of paper in your hands.
Yeah, maybe.
What's it called again? The Perfect Mistress?
A Perfect Marriage.
A Perfect Marriage. Okay, by who? Mm-hmm.
By Geneva Rose.
By Geneva Rose. Yeah, I'm going to say that's not a genre that I normally get into. But right now I'm reading, like, a beach read, a page turner, which I like. Might not like it enough to recommend it. But a book I just read, Greg's talking about reading on the plane. I read it on the plane ride to and from Chicago. Finished it up yesterday. Loved this book. This book is extremely my shit. If the things I recommend, you're like, I've got a taste for this stuff. You know, I like violence and I like intelligence. This was a British novel that was published last year. Just came out in America last week. It was long listed for the Booker Prize. I didn't know that was a thing. But I read a review and I was like, I got to read this. It's called Who They Was by Gabriel Krause. It's basically like a novelized version of this guy's life story. He's a young Polish immigrant who lives in England and grew up like a gangster, like a real gangster. And was also, like, a brilliant literary mind that, like, went to university and studied literature and was, like, a standout in his class, like, finished near the top of his class, but at the same time was pulling robberies, stabbing people, all kinds of crazy shit. Whoa. It's written so well. And it kind of, like, it deals with slang, like British slang, that takes a little bit to get used to. But once you're into it, you, like, love being inside this guy's mind. And it's just, I just love smart people doing crime. I just think it's like my favorite shit ever, especially low level stuff where he knows he shouldn't be doing it, but he gets kind of addicted to the adrenaline of it all. Just a great read. Just what, love spending time with this character. That if he wrote a sequel, I'd be thrilled, but I loved where he ended it. If you like things that I like, check out Who They Was by Gabriel Krause, Krauze. Just a fucking great read, a brilliant
that
book.
That sounds awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. It is.
A couple
and that
books
was
this week.
Mm-hmm. And that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Once again, Debbie, I'll see you soon. Get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
There's my doll.